are we in Christ? That's the title of the message. Who are we in Christ? Do you know who you are? Oh, I forgot. Little ones can be dismissed to go to junior church. Chop, chop. I'm glad you just go ahead because I forget things. They tell me it gets worse as you get older. So back to the question, do you know who you are? It sounds like a strange question, perhaps. But the real fact of the matter is many of us don't understand our true identity. Sometimes we think that living as God desires is just too difficult. There's times in our life when it seems like failing, we do more failing than we do obeying the Lord. Can you relate to that? None of us will ever be totally free from sin, except when we're taken home to be with Jesus. But in this life, the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, the life that I now live, we should at least have some victory over some wrong desires and bad habits, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we enjoy a time of victory? We can. And I'm going to talk about that today. We struggle. Many struggle. We all struggle to live godly lives. Temptations and sinful habits so many times seem to overwhelm us, and sometimes it seems impossible to overcome. We cycle in and out of failure and goodness. Reminds me of one of those revolving doors. You ever go in one of those? If you don't get out quick, you're going to keep right on going. Yep, and even if you get tired, it'll just keep pushing you. And doesn't your life sometimes look like that? It's sad, but true. I think back, and I want you to think back with me. When you got saved, how old was you? I think I was about 9. I'll never forget the time when I've asked Jesus to come into my heart and life. I felt so clean. And then an impure thought. And as I got older, wrong choices, all kinds of things. I didn't feel so clean then. I felt like I failed the Lord terribly. Heard a lot of messages but in those days of Jesus coming. I said, Lord, could I just find a girlfriend? Could I get married and raise a family before you come? Well, here, almost 65 years later, it all happened. But I can tell you that Jesus is still coming. The messages I heard were true. He's still coming. So back to what we were talking about. Cycling in and cycling out of failure. Is this really what the Christian life is supposed to be? Failures and repentance, failures and repentance. I believe a lot of the confusion that we go through, a lot of the feeling of defeat that we feel has to do with our understanding of who we are in Christ. For some of us, it's inaccurate. I didn't have a real good understanding of my union with Christ. It wasn't made real clear to me. And so I feared for my salvation whenever I did wrong, I feared for my salvation. If you'd asked me then back then, was I saved? I'd say, well, I hope I am. You want to see Jesus someday? Well, I hope to see him someday. Well, do you know that you can know? Well, that would be nice. I'd like to have that feeling. Can you relate to what I'm saying this morning? A lot of the confusion had to do with our understanding. Let's consider what the Lord's word says. Our salvation experience was an amazing event that happened in our life. It changed everything in our lives. Even though sometimes some of us didn't feel anything. I remember sharing with Harvey's sister. Led her to the Lord at the hospital in Harrisburg. She said, "Brother Roger, did it take? Harry, what do you mean, did it take?" She said, "I didn't feel anything." I said, "You don't always feel something, Harriet. You don't always feel something." Well, she said, "You know, I'm on morphine and I'm in and out all the time." I said, "Don't worry." I said, "The Lord got you when you was on, before you were out." It took before you went out. God loves us so, so much. If we only understood his love, we would understand. There's nothing that we can do that he'd ever stop loving us. Think about your own children. Could they ever do anything that you'd ever stop loving them? Absolutely not. And that's how you need to feel when you do wrong. God still loves you. He always loves you. He never gives up on you. Your parents didn't give up. Your grandparents didn't give up on you. And I can tell you that God doesn't give up on you either. He loves you with an everlasting love. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, if everyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. We can find this newness throughout the entire New Testament. We see phrases in the New Testament like new covenant, a living way, new life, new self, born again. This is what we see in the New Testament. You see, Christ isn't in the process of patching up the old so it's better. Our old sin nature can never be reformed. It can never be renewed. So what exactly has been made new? You speak of this new. What exactly has been made new? Well, obviously, it's not our bodies. Each year we get older. Signs of aging become more obvious each birthday. How many remember when you could read the date on a dime without glasses? Yeah, boy, wow. I can remember when your parents would give you things to read for them, they couldn't see it. They'd say, "I can't believe you can read that." "Yeah, I can read that, Mom, ain't no problem." Boy, now you got so many things going on in my glasses. If you look up there, it's different. If you look down here, it's a little different. And they even have trifocals yet. But I don't know how I'd walk with those. Well, it isn't our body that's new. Jesus told Nicodemus that one must be born again to see the kingdom of God in John chapter 3 and verse 3. And then in verse 6 of John chapter 3, he clarified what he was saying. It needed to be a spiritual birth. What he was referring to was a spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You know, before we had salvation, before we invited Jesus to live in our hearts, we were living physically, but we were dead spiritually. And the problem started all the way back with Adam. Adam and Eve's disobedience. Because of that, every human being that enters this world enters with a sin nature. It's why babies who seem to be so innocent, they quickly learn that one word that I would say is probably the best word that would characterize and describe humanity's reaction to God's demands for obedience. What's that word that the baby learns first? No. No. And isn't that the way it is with us? No, we don't want to do it. But you need to. I don't want to, but you need to. A little bit like it reminds me of when mother was trying to give me medication I didn't like. Oh, that tasted ugly. Blech. Or when she put something on my knee when I skinned it. You know, I soon found out what the difference was between methylate and mercurochrom. Boy, I sure found that out real quick. And I found out also where she kept it, and I made sure she couldn't find it the next time she wanted to put it on my knee. When she wondered where it was and just acted stupid, I didn't say nothing. I got rid of that because I knew that stuff was nasty. That burnt. I don't want that on my knee. Isn't that the way it is with us, with the Lord? But it's good. Well, it may be good, but I still don't like it. We were made spiritually alive by the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell in us. Our old self has been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. What a beautiful scripture, Galatians 2:20. Maybe I'd like to go there and just read that. That's a beautiful scripture. It's a good one to memorize. Galatians 2:20. You know how I remember that particular scripture? There's two kinds of current in your house. There's 110 and then there's 220. If you get a hold of the 220, you'll remember this scripture. You'll be crucified. That's how I remember it. I'm just do things like that. Might sound stupid, but I remember that. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. That's an easy way to remember it. Okay, well, I want to read it for you. I want to just try to quote it for you. I want to read it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and he gave himself for me. Isn't that beautiful? That really makes it plain and clear. How do I live it? Well, I live it by faith like everybody else. It's by faith. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's hard, but I live it by faith. I serve a new master. The master of sin, the devil. He tries to keep reminding me of the terrible things I did, and I keep reminding him of Calvary. But Jesus died for me. He forgave me of that. But the devil tries to just dig up dirt and try to remind you of this dirt. And I remind him that Jesus forgave me of that. Yeah, but do you still struggle with it? Yeah, I do struggle with it sometimes. And you know what? He's still there to help me. He's still there to love me. Devil, you're a liar. You was a liar from the beginning. So what about the problem with sin? We're new creations. We're new natures. Why do we still struggle with temptations and sins? Our spirits were made alive at salvation when we've asked Jesus to come into our heart and our lives. But you see, our bodies are still in this fallen condition. Remember when Jesus wanted his disciples to pray with him? And he went a stone throw further in Gethsemane and prayed and come back and found them sleeping. Yes, I know you wanted to pray with me. I know you. But he said the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. And that's what Paul explained in Romans chapter 7. We read that struggle. He described the struggle we have, the war that we have between the flesh and our mind. So how are we to overcome this? I believe that we can overcome. The victory comes through a renewed mind. A renewed mind. Let me read that for you in Ephesians, and then you'll help to understand what a renewed mind is about. Oh, he just puts it, it makes it so very clear here. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now it talks here about putting on and putting off. The things we need to put off are the things of the flesh. The things we need to put on are the things of the Spirit. We need to put those things on. Those are the good things we need to put on. A new creation. It happened. It was instantaneous. At the moment that I asked Jesus to come into my heart, I was forgiven. And I was justified at that time. But the renewal of our minds is a process of sanctification. You see, this is the part that was never really explained to me when I was a child. I was so confused. I thought every time I did wrong, I sinned, I lost my salvation. That's not true. There needed to be a renewal of my mind. It's a process, and that process is sanctification. That's the part where you need to desire to do what's right. And the Holy Spirit will prompt it in you to do what's right. And you'll know when you're not doing right because you'll have a bad conscience about it. You'll feel bad about it. You might have had an argument with your wife, and that happens sometimes. And after it happens, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. There were some things I really shouldn't have said. But it came out. You can't take it back. Those are the things that we need to seek forgiveness from our spouse and from the Lord. The Lord's ready. He wants to forgive you. But every time that you do wrong or you make a wrong choice, you didn't lose your salvation. You are in the process of being transformed into Christ's likeness. That's the process. And we spend our lifetime doing that. We spend our lifetime doing that. Lord, I probably said another thing I shouldn't have said. I'm sorry. My mouth runs off before I think sometimes. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I shouldn't have probably said that. Maybe I used the wrong word. I could have used a better word. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Then we're called to dress according to our new identity in Christ. And you know, some have interpreted that as this. Now, I know the Bible says we should be modest in our apparel, but then they take it to the nth degree in dress. Then they go they go so far that the stress is all dress. And they forget about what the dress is about. The dressing has to do with being submission, to be in submission. We forget about that. And being dressed with humility. You know, the Bible refers to that as a dress. The clothing of humility. Wow. So, we need to find this balance. And with the Holy Spirit's help, we'll find that balance. But we need to stop wearing the rotten, filthy garments of our former lifestyle. You see, they're no longer fitting for our new self that God has created in righteousness. We are told to consider ourselves dead to evil practices and attitudes, such as immorality and impurity and evil passions and evil desires and greed and anger and wrath and malice and slander and all kinds of abusive speech. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10 is where I got those words. We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Romans chapter 13 and 14. We need to begin seeing ourselves as new creations that have been clothed in Christ's robe of righteousness that displays holiness and compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance and forgiveness and love and peace and gratitude. Colossians 3, 12 through 16. This is the clothing of the Holy Spirit. And if I was invited to speak in this particularly denominational church, that's probably the passage I would use. Because it really don't have a lot to do with this. Because you see, before God, we are naked before God. He sees us as naked. He sees right through these clothes. We're naked before him. That's what the scripture says. But we make such a big taboo about dress. And yes, we need to be dressed modestly. Christ lives within us. It's only fitting that we wear his clothes. If we cover ourselves in old corrupted rags from our old past lives, how would anyone be able to see Christ in us? Not only do we look no different from the world, but we dishonor our Lord and Savior. People need to see Jesus in you. Does people see Jesus in you? Do they see Christ in you? Do they see the love of Jesus in your life? Do you portray that? It's our responsibility as Christians to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us through God's word. Each time we read it, each time we hear it, our minds are to be renewed in the ways of God. Our spirits are to be refreshed so that we can obey him. And when it seems like the world is bombarding us with temptations, we need to go back to the word and once again clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ. He is our perfection. We won't ever be perfected till one day when we leave this body and then we're transformed. But in this body, only Jesus made perfection. But you know what? I'm going to take his perfection and make it mine. Did you understand that? I'm going to take his perfection. And he said, I could. I can put his perfection on me. And when he sees me, he doesn't see all those bad decisions and all those bad choices that I've made. He don't see the times I got angry and said things I shouldn't have said. He doesn't see that because he sees forgiveness. He looks through the eyes of forgiveness and love. So to you, this message was not just for you, it was for me. I needed to be reminded that even though I felt like I came short of pleasing him, God's love is never short. It's never short. It's enough to go around for all of us. He loves you so much, so much. Don't let the devil tell you that you've done things that he don't like you anymore, because he's a liar. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much. Ooh, glory.